Do we have religion? Those criteria we just read? Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams was born November 12th in 1901. He was a noted author, professor at three divinity schools, Meadville, Harvard, and Andover Newton, and a prolific reader with a vast ability to recall the names of books. He once joked that he believed in salvation by bibliography. One of his messages to all people was a paraphrase of the philosopher Socrates in that an unexamined faith was not worth having. He held himself highly accountable and questioned the nature of God, the origins of belief, the notions of faith, and how to put his faith into action. And so as we examine our faith today, how are we living what we believe? In our first year of ministry in our former congregation in California, I discovered that the county had never received my mail-in voter registration form, though Lynn and I had mailed each of ours at the same time. So knowing that that election, like most elections, was important, I drove 2 hours south to Richmond, where we had moved from, so I could vote where I was still registered. People around the world have, and in some cases still are, sacrificing their lives to participate in elections. I carry this truth deep in my bones. And so I chose the 4-hour round trip to exercise my duty as a citizen and my faith as a Unitarian Universalist. The candidates and propositions I supported were based in a commitment to the betterment of the world, my concern for the common good, which is directly related to my spirituality and religious identity. This week, when we exercise our right to vote because New York has received both of our registrations, we will consider what we know to be the best choices grounded in our faith. Now, not all religions teach this kind of care, not all families either. Living in a capitalist society as we do thrives on creating need in consumers, which usually means creating some kind of anxiety or desire. We aren't smart enough or fast enough or handsome enough. We aren't a good enough parent or friend, student, spouse, employee. We don't have a big enough house or a fast enough car, or the next greatest electronic gizmo. This anxiety, we are told, will be assuaged when we buy the right vehicle or outfit or computer or phone or beauty items or sexual enhancement products. Now, those things are important tools for many of us. And many of us are not vulnerable to all the ads, and many of us have learned to change the station when commercials come on or we ignore the often unseen narrator. But just about all of us have our weak spots. The places of self-doubt where we are more susceptible to the message of corporate culture, which does not care for our well-being, only in making a profit. The larger systems which sustain capitalism are the same ones that keep racism, sexism, heterosexism, ableism, classism, environmental destruction, and consumerism in place. It is a savvy system, like a virus. It adapts so it will survive. It keeps us busy with distractions of what we supposedly need, with a lot of messages about how we should be better. A lot of us are trying to make ends meet, make sure we have health care, pay our bills, raise our kids right, look out for our families with occasional donations to charity, volunteering in classrooms and organizations, attending a religious community, etc. But overall, most of us are generally overcommitted and often overwhelmed. All these responsibilities, all the mess in the world, how on earth do we have time to deeply consider the needs of others, the despair and the poverty within and around us, or building the common good when we're struggling just to get all the stuff done that we have to do and that is expected of us? James Luther Adams, or JLA as he is often referred to, emphasized the sense of choice. He wrote in his essay, A Faith for the Free, The fact shows that we humans must choose. We cannot escape making a choice, nor can we escape the responsibility for the choices we make, any more than we can escape their consequences. We cannot hide behind someone else's authority or choice. Now, nearly 20 people have chosen to participate in the recent Path to Membership classes to learn more about Unitarian Universalism. They are choosing to learn more. Maybe soon they will choose to become members of this congregation. Isn't that cool? Adam says that a faith worth having is faith worth discussing and testing. So in other words, if you were accused of being a Unitarian Universalist, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is this religious faith one in which we value the responsible search for truth and meaning, one in which every person has inherent worth and dignity, where we value the world's religious traditions and draw wisdom from many sources? Is this faith showing up in your life? Will it inform your vote on Tuesday as we value the democratic process? Does it show up in how you raise your children or care for your parents or yourself? Does it impact how and where you travel? Are you finding moments of joy in seeing the incredible display in the trees and bushes all around us? Are our choices supporting the common good of all? And if you are a visitor or new to Unitarian Universalism this morning, how does what you currently believe take shape in your life, in your school, work, or retirement? And with your choices. In an essay in 1946, Adams outlined three tenets of faith for the free, placing special emphasis on the centrality of religious community. The first tenet of the free person's faith is that our ultimate dependence for being and freedom is upon a creative power and upon processes not of our own making. The second tenet of the free person's faith is that the commanding, sustaining, transforming reality finds its richest focus in meaningful human history, in free, cooperative effort for the common good. And the third tenet is that the achievement of freedom in community requires the power of organization and the organization of power. Now, there's a whole lot there to unpack, but for now, let us focus just on that second tenet, that the commanding, sustaining, transforming reality finds its richest focus in meaningful human history, in free, cooperative effort for the common good. In other words, he says, this reality fulfills our life only when people are in right relation to each other. Adams goes on to say, as historical beings, they come most fully to terms with this reality in the exercise of the freedom that works for justice in the human community. Faith is the sister of justice. Only the society that gives every person the opportunity to share in the process whereby human potentiality is realizable, only the society that creates the social forms of freedom in a community of justice where all are given their due, only the freedom that respects the divine image and dignity in each person are dependable. He concludes with words from Lincoln, "Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot long retain it." I take these words to mean that if we want justice, we really have to work together for the common benefit of all. If we want our expression of our faith to actually matter, we need to consider how to enact more justice by being in right relationship to one another. In other words, to live our lives recognizing that the choices we make and the person that we are impacts the interdependent web of all existence, of which we are just a tiny little part. And yet, how can we know what good is really common with so many people in the world? I mean, clean water, healthy food, decent shelter, clean air, and clothes that are appropriate for the climate we're in. We could probably mostly agree that all human beings ought to have these things. And most Most of us would likely add healthcare and education to that list. That's probably pretty close to a collective idea of the common good at the very basic level. Seems rational, reasonable. However, we do not in fact have a shared agreement about providing the common good, though the U.S. is one of the richest nations in the world. Not everyone who wants one has a place to live. Not everyone who needs it has access to clean drinking water. Not everyone who hungers is fed. Certainly access to health care and education is limited. So while we may hold to a common notion of these basic human necessities, we have not yet created the structures, policies, and practices to prevent most homelessness and poverty and pollution and hunger from occurring. We do not yet care for everyone's health or education fairly. And those are just the basics. What about quality of life, such as companionship, beauty, a sense of self, pleasure? How might we make these experiences more often a part of the common good, too? Now, I fully acknowledge that there are a few folks who have made choices that have resulted in the harsh consequences that they currently face. I acknowledge that a whole lot of us in this room work and or volunteer in agencies that are working for the good of humanity. We know that UU Schenectady has a special collection and that folks participate in Family Promise just this week, actually, in fact, to provide a decent place to eat and sleep for a week to a few families. There are many projects that several of you engage in on your own or here in this community, and all of these things matter. Service projects and giving money does make a difference. And I also find myself wondering, what needs to change so that our society stops creating the circumstances in which folks are without jobs, without enough education to get decent jobs, situations in which families find themselves without shelter, without food, without adequate health care, who have had most of their choices removed? What needs to change so that folks coming home from serving in the military or exiting prison might get counseling and support to enter back into civilian life? What needs to change so that kids and teachers stop thinking it's okay to bully kids who seem somehow different? It is vitally important to do the work to ease the suffering of folks right now. And we also need to be engaging the work to actually create a good, which is common, for all people to experience regularly. This is not easy to do, or else we might have done it already. Lots of people tell us to take care of ourselves first, to fear difference or the other, to not rock the boat. A year ago, a group of clergy here in Schenectady, compelled by the disturbing campaign and election of the current U.S. president, started meeting together. Schenectady Clergy Against Hate was born, and Reverend Lynn and I have joined them. On November 19th, we will partner together for a service of thanksgiving and thanksgiving at the Sikh Temple up on Route 7. There will be Christians, Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, Unitarian Universalists, and hopefully leaders from the Mohawk people working together to bring more kindness, more compassion, more justice, and more joy. Watch circuits for more information. Each of us carries our own wounds and triumphs, fears, losses, successes, grief, anxiety, past experiences and lessons learned. What choices are we making based on that history? And what choices are we freeing ourselves to make in this present moment based on what we know to be true now? An examined faith is not worth having, Adams said. And this Unitarian Universalist faith invites us into relationship with its messiness and glory, its challenges and its triumphs, its white worms and endless hills, its fears and questions and deepening trust and learnings. with an informed and yet somehow miraculously still open heart. Or as New Jersey Senator Cory Booker says, "What we need now more than anything else are people who are willing to do the difficult work of bridging gaps and healing wounds. People in our communities who can rally others together across lines of division for the greater good. People who reject cynicism and winner-take-all politics and instead embrace the more difficult work this generation now faces to unite our country in common cause." How much more common will the good become when the way we live our lives matches our examined Unitarian Universalist faith that is so worth living? May it be so. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.